You're listening to the BBS Radio Network, and this is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud, healer, author, shaman, paranormal investigator. Stay tuned for Between Two Worlds.
Derek White Sky Cloud. Welcome everybody to Between Two Worlds. You're listening to BBSRadio.com, and I am a psychic medium and a paranormal investigator. Today, we're starting off a little bit late, but we're getting our started. Anyways, I'd like to welcome everybody into the chat room. We do have a chat room online here on BBS Radio. If you want to go to the chat room, it's under Between Two Worlds. I'd like to welcome you there as well. We have a guest today coming on, and yes, we're welcoming her back on. I called her up last minute, and I said, Joanne, I need you to come on. There's somebody I was supposed to have had, but I need you to come on anyways. And I talked her into it. Anyways, Joanne Giroux has been a friend of ours and been on our show many times before. She actually works like a medical intuitive, but she actually works as a herbalist, and she does a lot of work on the field. And we're looking forward to have her come on and to share some of her information and the work that she does. Joanne has been doing a lot of work in this field as as far as a herbalist is concerned for many, many years since she's a little girl. And basically today what we're going to be talking about is the summer sun, how people are dealing with skin conditions. Also talk about the cures of the conditions, like basically what you can use, or if anybody out there who's ever had any skin condition or problems with their skin, or if you found an elixir or a cure or a cream or an oil that you've made yourself, or you know someone actually made something to help deal with sunburns or skin conditions, please give us a call in. I'm going to give you the toll-free numbers. The toll-free numbers are 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. That's all those of you actually in the U.S. And in Canada, we're going 888-815-9756. It's 888-815-9756. Now, those of your international lines who want to call in, we welcome you as well. It's 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. All you do is contact your operator and make that call, and we look forward to listening to you. Also, I'd like to recognize our affiliates, people that are supporting in what are in this show itself, up Between Two Worlds. I also want to acknowledge the radio program called Ghost Radio, and as well as Underworld Radio, which is actually Leah Ramsey's is the host of the show. This is actually located in Australia. I'd like to welcome them to supporting us on our show program. They're picking us up in Australia. Also, I'd like to also acknowledge the Netherlands, people up in the Netherlands called Good Begin. They actually are picking up our show as well up there. And also, APSR Radio, Paranormal Talk, Dr. Jimmy and Heather, they have had me on their show for the last 2.5-3 years as a guest on their show. And now they turn to Paranormal Television, and it's a phenomenal program. And they're going into internet, not just internet radio, but internet television. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what they will be doing in the next week or two. Also, we have Friends of the Paranormal, which is called, there's a website called I Am Haunted, the one and only I Am Haunted online paranormal community. if you go to my page, pardon me, on the Between Two Worlds page, and you'll see it on the list on the right side, you find that name, you click on that banner, you click on the button, scroll yourself down, you will find these banners available for you to take a look through. Check out these people, the websites. You'd be surprised what they have, who they have on there, and those that have been guests on as well. And also, what I'm also asking everybody else to do, too, is to send me feedback. So if any of you actually are listening to the show, please go to my page and let me know what you think of the show. I mean, I'd like to hear from you. Those of you who want to give me credit or the credibility of what I've been doing, or if you think what you think of the show, you can actually email me that, and if you wish to, you can actually we will put it on my page, and it'll be considered as a scroll through the feedback, and people get to see what they think of the program. So actually, with no further ado, I'd like to actually welcome Joanne Giroux from Maple Ridge, British Columbia.
Coco.
Welcome, Joanne.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
I don't live in Maple Ridge. I live in Port Coquitlam.
Oh, I take it back. Okay, well, Maple Ridge is not a territory. It's Port Coquitlam. Do you work out of Maple Ridge?
Oh, yeah. I work out of everywhere.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to share something with you before we get started.
Sure.
A client of yours phoned me for advice, and we got talking, and he goes, I don't know whether you can answer me this question or not, but does Derek not have any other friends? And I said, what? What kind of a question is that? He goes, well, you're the only one he ever has on the radio show. I said, no, he just picks friends in high places. Deal with it.
Who told you this?
I don't remember his name. I thought it was pretty funny.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Well,
it was all in fun.
Oh yeah, we have a lot of fun doing this.
Uh huh.
Anyways, what I actually wanted to talk to you about today, Joanne, and see if you're what your thoughts are on this. We have the summer season right now, and it has been very hot this last week.
It's gorgeous.
And everyone now is talking about putting creams on as preventatives from the sunshine. People talked about skin cancer and what the sun has done to us, what they believe in. We've had so many doctors and so many doctors out there in the industry are saying, well, you're only allowed to be in the sun for no more than a few minutes or no longer than this. Some people I've been actually talking to are no longer using the sun because they're being told that skin cancer is one of the highest rates in the medical industry right now. So, you know, in one point you're seeing the negative sense of it. One point you want to see the positive sense, because a lot of us out there really do enjoy the sun, you know.
Yeah.
And what I'm curious about, should we continue on being afraid of the sunshine and not be outside and spend our time in the sun, or should we always basically hide ourselves from being outdoors?
Well, I think moderation is the key. With what I do, you got to make hay when the sun shines. So I'm outside in the sun all day, and I've never used a sunscreen in my life. And I don't plan on it. The body releases melanin, which is a natural way of protecting your skin from too much sun exposure. We need sun to be able to manufacture our own vitamin D. And a lot of people, like, I've got skin as tough as leather because I've been in the sun all my life. It's not like I, you know, lay there worshiping it, but when you're working in it, I don't know, you sweat. It's a great detox. And even Dr. Christopher, one of the world's renowned herbalists, would say during the heat of the day for 20 minutes to an hour, depending on your body, just full sun exposure on your body, sweat it out, and the cholesterol that comes out of your body is actually converted to vitamin D in your body by the sun. And we need the sun. That's all there is to it. Without the sun, we're gone. We're out of here. Everything is. But everything in moderation. As far as infants and young children, 10 to 15 minutes of sunlight on them is okay. As far as that's what my kids do with my young grandchildren anyway, and my youngest one is 3.5 weeks old. If they're going to be in the sun repeatedly, you know, on the beach or whatever, a good organic sunscreen is good. A lot of them have titanium dioxide in it. The titanium dioxide is basically metal dust. And the particles are supposed to be large enough that they wash off your skin and they're not absorbed by the pores. And this is what prevents some of the UV rays from actually damaging the skin. And when you're dealing with young children, their skin is their major suit of armor as well as their filtration organ. And their skin has to follow them through the rest of their life. So it's very, very important that your skin works properly as an elimination organ as well as a shield. So you don't want to overdo it with them, but some exposure is good because they need the vitamin D naturally also. You see some people at the beach, especially when you're around salt water. Salt water, oh boy, you burn.
Definitely, yeah.
My first time over in Europe, I was 10 years old, and I was at the beach in the salt water, and even though I was in the shade, I ended up with third-degree burns. I've never burned since, but, oh, I'll never forget that, and I wouldn't recommend that to anybody. So you've got to be very careful, so I would strongly suggest using a sunscreen when you're around salt water and rinse the salt off. What I do for myself is I make a nutritional tanning oil, and people say, well, how can that be nutritional? Well, there are full sun herbs. There are roses, there's sunflowers, there's calendula, there's a lot of the bushes and shrubs that bear berries, and they're all full sun foliage. They have protective properties in them that prevent them from burning. So what I've done is I've taken a lot of the full sun herbs, roses, lavender, calendula, et cetera, et cetera, and you make an infusion in olive oil. And those healing or those protective properties are extracted in the olive oil, and I put that on my skin. So I may brown. I don't burn. Some people will burn with it because it is an oil base. Mm-hmm. But if you use it sensibly and you're not in the sun, you know, for hours on end, you shouldn't burn. And even if you do forget and overdo it, then your skin isn't going to receive any damage. Because if it doesn't damage the plants, it's not going to damage us.
Yeah. One thing I'm curious, like actually what I want to say for the public out there to know is that if any of you out there have had experienced sunburns, and I want you to do is I want you to phone in to this show. It's toll free. Phone into the show, and I want you to tell me what you use that actually helped you deal with a sunburn, or if you dealt with a skin condition through this. I want you to phone in and to let us know and see what you have felt, what can be done, or you think that did help you throughout these years, or even through your childhood. When I was a kid, I remember when I was on the farm, you know, being out in the field and you're doing a lot of plowing and you're doing a lot of baling. I remember a lot of people used to try the baby oil with iodine.
Yeah.
And then mix it up.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it too much because for some reason I felt like I was boiling in a way. I know it did color your skin.
You are. Yeah, when you have a sunburn, you don't apply anything with oil.
No.
Because that keeps the heat in. I can't remember who it was. Isn't that strange? Anyway, it was a long time ago. A herbalist was working in the lab, and a beaker blew up, and he burnt himself very badly. Now, there was another beaker sitting beside him with a clear liquid, which he thought was water, and he stuck his hand in it. He didn't blister. He didn't have it just totally removed the burn. And
wow.
It wasn't water. It was essential oil of lavender.
Wow.
Yeah. And so what I've done with the kids, if they did burn, I mixed aloe vera gel, and I put some drops of essential oil of lavender in the aloe vera gel, and that is very, very soothing. Or some, you know, you can use essential oil of rose also, but the lavender especially takes the burnout.
What I did use when I was young, and I felt I needed to use it because for some reason I felt that it was going to help a lot. I actually used vinegar
mm-hmm.
on a sunburn, and
yeah.
You smelled like a French fry, but it worked.
Yeah. Did you sizzle?
I sizzled.
I thought
yeah,
so.
But it worked. It really did work. I never burned, but I you know what? I never peeled. My skin did not peel after
yeah.
I used the vinegar.
Yeah.
Because normally
yeah.
most people have burns. You put on a cream, you normally peel.
Yeah,
I never peeled from having when I had a burn. I put the vinegar on, and within minutes it was fine. And days after, you notice that big peeling come off the skin. Never had the problem.
Yeah, yeah. There's just nothing worse than trying to sleep with a sunburn, especially the back of the legs or something. You know, that is so annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quite often, if I'm on a public beach, I'll walk. You know, if I'm walking along and I see people laying on their stomach, I kind of nudge them and go flip. I don't know who the heck I am, but, you know, after a while you think, I can hear somebody sizzling, time to flip, you know? But I think a lot of people are becoming a lot more conscientious about what they're doing in the sun, because the sun rays are a lot stronger than they were when I was a kid. And I got so much hair on my head, I don't wear a hat either, and I probably should. My kids always go, "Mom, you look like a blonde Jamaican. How do you do this?" But, yeah, it's true, because I got these white eyes sticking out of this brown face with this white hair, you know, like, boo! But, it's a lot of...
They're just in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Everybody calls me the albino Indian.
Yeah. Now, also, too, that most people that are out there don't know, except the Aboriginal people, but we actually use bear grease.
Yeah.
At times to use as preventatives so then you don't get a sunburn. So if you put bear grease on your body, that actually will prevent the sunburn from happening, because it actually will coat the skin.
Yeah.
But doesn't smother it, because it blends in with the skin itself, because it's actually from a bear.
Yeah. As well as if you infuse sassafras in with bear grease, that's a really nice preventative, because the sassafras leaves are quite thick and they have that built-in protection also.
Now, one thing I've actually noticed, too, some of the mothers, for example, they have newborns, and they don't realize that, you know, you use a zinc cream for the baby's bum.
Yeah.
It's got zinc in it, and people don't realize you can actually use the very same cream from burning your skin.
Yeah, zinc oxide.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't realize that you can use actually a baby cream with zinc oxide in it. That actually does work.
Mm-hmm.
As a preventative as well. So
totally.
There are some that are quite would benefit the person from getting burned. Now, we do talk about people that are sun worshippers, and some people really don't put much on. And they talk about the UV, and like they'll say, well, UV ray of 15 or 25 or 30. Do you feel yourself that those type of creams that actually have helped people, or do you feel that it's
the organic ones, the natural ones, yeah. The other ones, I'm not sure if they've got the methyl parabens and they've got so many chemicals in them. I've had the suspicion for a long time, and totally to my amazement, I heard on the radio, I think it was 2 or 3 months ago, just as a little blurb that saying, well, scientists aren't so worried about the sun hitting your body anymore. They're more worried about the sunscreen that you're putting on it. And I thought, well, really now? You got all these chemicals sitting on your skin, and the sun activates them, and your pores open in the heat, you sweat, and you do absorb them. They're not good. They're really not good. And if you already have a compromised health situation, they're not going to help you any. So what you really have to do is be very, very particular. And usually a sunscreen either prevents one ray or the other. It very seldom prevents both, unless they've come up with something new this year. It very seldom prevents both of the different types of UV rays from going in.
Yes.
And it depends on the year as to what scientific studies has been done to find out which UV ray is more damaging than the other. It seems to switch back and forth all the time. And I've lost track of what it is this year, but there could be a lot of validity to it. But like I said, I think some exposure every day is actually a good idea. Now, there's some people that they are so pale. Ay-yay.
Mm-hmm. For example, someone's a redhead, and some people actually have red hair. Say they cannot tan. They have a hard time tanning, and their skin is so pale. Why?
Yeah, just different pigmentation. One of my son's friends has red hair, and he's as white as a ghost all the time, but he tans up not bad. My son-in-law has beautiful red hair, and he tans, I tell you, he's a lifeguard part-time, and he does a beautiful job of tanning. He gets a really nice deep tan, and it's because, like, he's always been a swimmer, and he's always been subjected to the sun. And I think your body will adapt, but you can't, you know, hide from the sun. And then when you're 30 or 40, all of a sudden decide you're going to turn into a sun baby and sit out in it. That doesn't happen that way. It's conditioning.
Yes.
It's conditioning. And, you know, take necessary precautions. Like, I mean, I'd rather see somebody use a sunscreen, even, you know, not one of the good ones, in a case of emergency, because they find themselves, you know, well, I guess we're going to be at the beach for another 4 hours. Well, not a good idea if you're really fair-skinned to be out in the sun that long.
Yeah.
So it's...
Anyone actually has dark hair, like especially my wife, and she has, her hair is almost very dark. She has a hard time standing in the sun, just having dark hair, because she said her head burns really bad, so she has to wear a hat.
Yeah.
Most of the time, you seldom ever see her in the sun now. She has to walk with an umbrella, because she's afraid that her skin, because at one time her and I went up north to this place, we were driving a lot of hours, and her right arm was facing the passenger window, that within the next couple of days, she had these spots mm-hmm. all over her forearm, from
white
her
spot.
Elbow down to almost the palm of her hand, and it looked like little spots and blotches, and they never went away.
Are those white spots?
Dark spots.
Dark spots.
Dark pigmentation on the skin, and someone told her that it actually come from the sun, because yet on the other side of her hand, she doesn't have it.
Yeah. Well, the melanin probably went to the most sensitive areas of the skin, because all our skin has sensitive areas, right? Now,
When
I've been out in the sun for a while, because my nose seems to have a heck of a lot of exposure, I have a permanent dark spot on my nose. And everybody said, you should clean your liver. I said, it's got nothing to do with my liver. My liver is just fine, thank you. It's a sunspot. And I just call them sunspots. And if I'm out in the sun...
Because you're further than your regular face.
Hey?
Your nose sticks out further before or the rest of the face gets out there.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where I have it. And on my shins, I get white spots. Like, it's funny, because I'll have really tanned legs, and I have all these white spots. And that's where the melanin didn't reach. Sometimes they get itchy, sometimes they get raised, and I think, okay, I've been in the sun too long. Once I go in cold water, and I stay out of the sun for a day, they're gone, you know? So you have to pay attention and just do what your body tells you. You know, your body will let you know. Anybody that's taking antidepressants, St. John's wort is not the only one that causes light sensitivity. And it's, you know, St. John's wort is one of the best things to put on your skin. So it's St. John's wort oil to prevent sunburning. Yet if you take it inside, they tell you you become photosensitive. And I guess that's true because it's such a powerful antioxidant that so many toxins come out of your skin, and I guess you could be in trouble. But naturally, the cholesterol that you sweat out from your lymphatics and your veins changes to vitamin D, and your body reabsorbs that. But I think one of our other summer concerns are not so much the honeybees, but the wasps. I have never in my life ever come across so many people that are so deadly allergic to these things. And I'm thinking, what is going on? Like, I've only been stung once in my life, and that was, I went to bed and I put my head down on the pillow and a wasp had gotten into my pillowcase because I dried the bedding on the line that day, and he stung me in the neck. And I got a little bit of a red line, and that was it. And it was gone by morning, right? So I don't react at all, but a couple of my friends and two of my kids, like, I mean, they got 5 minutes and they're dead, you know? And I'm thinking, where did this come from? I can't figure it out because it's not like they have really clogged systems or anything. I just have no idea. But I do know that Apis is a homeopathic remedy. Apis given as often as needed, every 10, 15 minutes under the tongue, helps to dissipate the venom. And also taking B vitamins, a B complex, taking high B complex vitamins does something to your blood and they are not attracted to you. They're not attracted to me anyway, so I don't know what I've got that nobody else has. But, a wasp will come up to me within about 5 inches and go, I don't think so, and leave. Yet, you know, with two of my kids, the wasps love them. So I don't know whether they have sweet blood or what it is, but if they take high B complex during the summer, more than normal, 4 to 6 a day, they're not bothered.
It's almost like it's the same similar way as mosquitoes, because mosquitoes will bite some people, others they won't touch.
Mm-hmm.
I think because of what you eat. I mean, most people don't know this. They'll say, yes, mosquitoes bite, but it's not both mosquitoes, not the male and the female. It's the female that bites.
Yeah.
They'll just hover.
Yeah.
But the thing is that when the mosquito does bite, They can also cause a disorder with the skin. And I feel strongly that this has never happened for many, many years. I mean, most mosquito bites, even when people were not using sprays in their body, yes, you get mosquito bites, but never bothered them much. Mm-hmm. Now when people get mosquito bites, it creates almost like an infection, and their hands will swell up, their arms will swell up, they get huge bumps. It's got to be something with all the chemicals they put into the grasses, you know.
Well, it's also people with a high candida count. I find that my experience has been people with a high candida count really swell up with the mosquitoes, and they get bit by mosquitoes. If you don't have mosquitoes don't like me either. They'll yuck and go on to the next guy.
They don't bother me at all. My wife, she'll bend over in the garden,
mm-hmm.
and they'll come right through her pants, and they'll bite her on the butt.
Yeah.
And then she walks in the house later on that night. She goes, "Oh, I can't sit down," and look at her butt, and there's a huge nodule, like five or six of them on her butt, and she's like, "Ow."
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, it's painful. And my daughter used to be like that, and so I upped her B complex also. And another, you know, really good one is wormwood. They don't like wormwood, and I make a really good insect repellent, which is all natural, and it has wormwood in it, and a very slight amount for young children. But I've had people go to Costa Rica. I've had people go to the Yucatan, up to Whitehorse, all over the place. And when my son was teaching up in Whitehorse at cadet camp, he phoned me and he goes, "You know those containers of that insect repellent, Mom?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "You got to mail us up a case. They got mosquitoes the size of hummingbirds up here." And he says, "I'm the only one they're not bothering, and I'm the only one with the insect repellent, and I'm the only one with a lock and key that hides it, because none of that is gone. So send me a case." So I did, and D&D paid for it, and none of the kids were bit all summer. And it all depends on the essential oils that you use. But my kids use it on their little ones, and none of them, you know, have been bitten. And like I said, I've had customers go to Costa Rica and the Yucatan, and they've used the insect repellent, and they haven't been bothered by it at all.
I got a friend up north, and he told me one time when he was up at one particular area, he said the mosquitoes were so big, he says, "You know, you take the can and you spray the insect spray to stop mosquitoes from biting." He says, "They weren't even biting you." They were trying to lick the stuff off the can.
Yeah.
I mean, to them, they won't stop because of the insect sprays hardly anymore.
Yeah.
I remember my wife, when she was bitten by mosquitoes up north where we were, up near Burns Lake in that area. That's mosquito country. And
mm-hmm.
you don't dare to take off your clothes to go and bathe on the beach. You had to be fully clothed pretty well. But the mosquitoes are biting. They're actually fighting their way through to get through the screen to get to you, to bite you. She ended up using two different types of creams. One is by the company Off, another one by, I can't remember the name of the company. And one day she mixed them both together, and her hand swelled up like a giant glove, the back of her hand. She could not even close her fingers.
Yeah.
She literally had to take antihistamine. Antihistamine to get rid of the swelling. It was that bad.
Yeah.
And so she never used that stuff anymore. She stopped using those sprays. They can be deadly to you.
Oh, they can be. And, yeah, I always use a natural one. And I've had various reps from various companies take mine to various other countries to see if it really works. And they've, you know, various people have used various different brands. And, like, they've all come back and said, "You know what, as soon as we started using yours, they just left us alone." And that's what you want. You don't want to tempt fate because they do carry disease.
So you say you have a skin lotion that you use to repair?
Yeah, an insect repellent, yeah. And it rides on top of your skin.
Okay, and do you also have one for sunburns?
For sunburn, I don't usually get into that one. I usually suggest aloe vera and lavender, and it's just as easy for people to pick up aloe vera gel and a little bottle of lavender essential oil for $5.95. And, you know, add the essential oil to the aloe vera, put it on their skin. It's just not worth my while to mix it up for them.
Okay.
The insect repellent, yeah. The insect repellent is an infusion of various herbs and oils with beeswax and essential oils. So, yeah, I do have a product. I just call it the insect repellent. And it seems to work okay.
Good.
Yeah.
Now, for those of you out there, people listening to the show, this is Joanne Giroux. If you're just listening in right now, she has a website. www.wildwomanherbs.com. That's wildwomanherbs.com, as in wild woman herbs, and not wild crazy woman. That's a different story.
Or wild wacky woman.
Wild wacky woman, yeah. Joanne, here's something I was going to ask you the question, and that is sunbeds. Now, a lot of people, you know, if they don't use a natural sun, they make decisions by using sunbeds. Like they want a suntan before the sun
mm-hmm.
starts. Now, do you recommend the sunbeds, or what would you feel that would benefit? Is it worthwhile, or do you think it can be not good for them?
Well, you know, I got mixed feelings on it. Number one, I always feel like I went once because I thought, okay, you don't even know what people are talking about until you've done it, right? So I went once. And I felt like I was in the middle of a microwave, man. This is not my thing. number one, a tanning bed, I feel like I'm in a coffin. The stand-up one, I feel like I'm in an incinerator. Not my bag. But I have lots of clients. I know lots of people that use them. And I can't honestly say they're any worse off for it. In fact, if they have really sensitive skin and they start using the bed before the sun comes out, like the heat and the UV rays become strong, they seem to be a lot better off. And I've known a lot of people that have done it for many, many years, in moderation, not, you know, some people tan all winter long. I think, well, what's the point? Because you're not, it's not the same as the sun. You're not getting your vitamin D from it. So I guess they just want to look like beach babies all year. I don't know. But anyway, if you do it before the UV rays get strong, I haven't seen anybody suffer any consequences from that. So it may not be my thing, because I just really don't like confined spaces like that hiss and spit at me, or hum, and it's really hot. Yeah, it's not my thing, but I can't say that I've ever seen anybody that suffered from it. And they benefited, because a lot of the redheads, they don't burn in the sun as badly. You know, they can actually deal with it.
Yeah, someone here is telling me on the chat line, they're saying that sunbeds make them claustrophobic.
I understand, totally. Like
yeah,
I said,
like,
the bed, I feel like I'm in a coffin, and the stand-up ones, I feel like I'm in some sort of incinerator. You know those bug lights?
Yeah, walk into a bug
light.
That's
exactly what I feel like, and of course that's not at all what it's about, but that's my own perception, so I avoid them like the plague.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've used sunbeds myself when I was younger, when I got into bodybuilding.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you take the hair off the body and you start to
Pump it.
Pump it and make your muscles look big, or make them look oiled down after you get all brown.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's nice to have that for a while, but it's only because it's part of your appearance, your ego, so to speak. Right now,
when you grow up, shed the ego, ditch the muscles.
When I'm 50 years old, I don't have any interest in sunbeds.
No,
not like it used to be, because I just could not smell I couldn't stand the smell of burnt skin.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I find that the people that need to, because the UV rays really get to them and they burn quite easily, I think they actually benefit from tanning before, you know, and they don't have to wear as much sunscreen and all kinds of stuff like that. So, and like I said, I've known people that have done it for years and years and years. Like I said, in moderation, just before the UV rays get high.
Yeah.
And they don't have any sun damage or skin damage from that. So, I think there would have been more restrictions on them, or at least, I don't even know if there are any, but there would be if, they caused, you know, problems, but because they're not real UV rays, then I don't really think, they're not the real McCoy, so I don't see anything, you know, in moderation. You're going to stand there and get burnt to a crisp, I wouldn't suggest that to anybody. But
Actually, I have a brother-in-law who actually has a skin condition.
Mm-hmm.
He gets psoriasis.
Yeah.
He has it all over his body, even in some private areas.
That's a prion.
His wife, he has to vacuum the bed every day.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said the only thing that he noticed a big difference is when he's on the sunbed to help to deal with the skin condition.
Yep. Yeah, a lot of people say that with eczema and psoriasis.
I think because of the vitamin D, you know, we're supposed to have natural sun. We don't get natural sun all the time, especially winter season, because the clouds are covering it most of the time.
Yeah.
That's why most people have actually dealt with skin conditions look forward to the summertime.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Totally. Because it totally dries them up. There's bacteria in psoriasis and eczema. There's always bacteria, generally staph. And there's a psoriasis prion, actually, that can be wiped out through vibrational machines that are out on the market. And it takes some doing, but you can get rid of it. And a lot of it is diet-related also, right? But it's incorrigible. I've met people that are head to foot with it, but as soon as the sun comes out, it dries them up, and that's the only relief they get. So what they do is they'll go into the bed maybe, you know, or the tanning salon once every 2 weeks in the wintertime, and it definitely helps them out.
Well, yeah, so I feel like the sunbeds, so basically I would say sunbeds can be a yeses and nos. They somehow balance it, like you said. It's hard to say if there's anything bad about them or good about them.
Well, 100 years from now, we may find out that they were totally detrimental to our health, and we may find out that there was no significant difference in us.
Yeah.
Except that we look better and healthier and feel better because we've done something for ourselves. What we know now is not what we will know in the future, and it's the same like 100 years ago. We didn't know various things that we know now. It's a progressive state, and so far, everybody's good with it, so everybody does it. Not everybody, but a lot of people do it.
Most people do it, yeah. Well,
yeah.
Actually, I noticed there's more sunbed stores or centers now than ever was before. I remember
exactly.
When they just, not too long ago, oh, I'd say 20 years ago, they were mostly used for in the fitness centers. Now they actually have them individually in almost every mall in Canada, at least.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's funny. You can always tell, or maybe it's just me, I can always tell what's a fake and bacon, what's a real one, you know? And you can tell that difference. Well,
I got one good question for you.
Mm-hmm.
This fellow here, his name is Seth, and he's basically making a statement. He says, my wife also has full-body psoriasis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most likely, here's a good question. What can you do, really? Do you know yourself that would help benefit her? He says tanning beds do help, but is there anything else that she could do to help that psoriasis naturally?
You know what? I can't say enough about a live blood exam because your blood tells the story. Now, they have discovered a psoriasis prion, and that prion is like a protein, and it's not dead and it's not alive. The only thing that will destroy that is vibration. And that's either, you know, an electrical Rife machine, an F-scan. There's all kinds of machines out there. The Hulda Clark zappers, some are approved, most of them aren't. But they work.
If you're American, where do you think they can go? Who do they need to see?
Just check out the website. Check out the Hulda Clark website or frequency machines used for psoriasis. All kinds of stuff will come up.
Okay.
And
so basically, and the name of the one organization is called what?
Hulda Clark.
How do you spell that?
H-U-L-D-A.
Yes.
And C-L-A-R-K.
Okay, Hulda Clark. Okay. And that in .com most likely, or just...
But if you just punch it into Google, it'll come up.
Okay, so basically looking that up there, and it gives you an idea what they can do to help them in that area.
Yeah, because I have various, and also the photon sound beam. The photon sound beam, I can't say enough about it. It does various frequency sweeps. If you can either buy one yourself, as far as I'm concerned, everybody should have a frequency machine in their home of some sort. You don't have to go for the $30,000 ones. You can go for a $200 one, a $500 one, a $1,500 one. But years and years ago, Einstein said something about, I think it was Albert Einstein that said, vibrational medicine is the way of the future. And you know what? He was absolutely right, because these vibrational machines actually are programmed to the same frequency these prions, bacteria, viruses, parasites are programmed, are vibrating at. So when you're on one of these machines, the vibration goes through your body, and it's subtle. It goes through your body. And because of the magnetic attraction of the frequencies of the two organisms, like the enemy, so to speak, and the vibration from the machine, it ends up in a head-on collision, and it breaks apart the culprits that are creating the disorder. Now, not one zap doesn't cure anything. The only person that can actually take somebody from their deathbed and bring them to a new level of consciousness and a perfect body is the Creator. That's it. There are no one-time machines on this planet, and I don't believe there ever will be. We don't have that kind of power. However, they do really, really help. And I've seen them work with those conditions, and it's amazing what happens to the body. And also alkalize the blood. Most people with eczema and psoriasis have an acidic bloodstream. And when you think about it, if you have a very acidic body, then these microorganisms are not part of our full color spectrum. They are not part of our body's frequency or our subtle bodies. They have a totally separate frequency than ours, either much lower or way, way higher. And what happens is that they're floating around in the air. They have a purpose. And they sense a body that is diseased through acidity and stress and other, you know, environmental factors. And they're only doing their job. They move in because the frequency of that body is that it is dying and it is decomposing. And therefore, they enter the body to help the decomposing process. They're only doing their job. Well, if you don't want to decompose, then you got to change your whole system around, your thought patterns around, and the frequency machines will get into, the vibration will get into various organs. You can take all the homeopathics you want. You can take all the essences. The essences come closer. You can take all the chemicals you want. But you need the frequency to change your entire body around, including your subtle bodies. And once you start changing your physical around, you've also got to start changing your lifestyle kind of thing to accommodate this change. Because what you're trying to do is take your body out of a disease-dying state so these microbes will move out of your body and not bother you anymore because you're no longer dying. They're only doing their job. And that doesn't mean you're going to drop dead in 2 weeks. That just means it's one thing progresses into the other and it becomes a lot more complicated to deal with. Did that make any sense?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Now... We talked about lavender.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people use lavenders for many types of lotions. Even sometimes they'll even use lavender as an insect repellent. They use lavender even to help you rest and sleep. They put under the pillow and the sachets. They use lavender quite often. And can a person use lavender, say, with an oil, like a suntan lotion or almost like a skin condition lotion?
Oh, yeah.
Does that help it go through the healing process as well?
Yeah. Totally. Actually, radiation burns heal very, very well with olive oil, beeswax, and essential oil of lavender.
Okay.
So if somebody's had radiation and their skin isn't healing, if the skin still won't heal after you've used a lot of very soothing liniments, then chances are it's not going to because it didn't, you know, the radiation didn't do its job. The body will not heal anything. It will not close anything over if there's still disease in the body. But for regular radiation burns, which there's quite a lot out there, I find lavender with an organic olive oil and, you know, a high-quality beeswax is very, very soothing, and people have found it to help considerably. And it's strange, but spike lavender actually is the best one for the healing. And from what I understand is lavender officinalis and lavender augustifolia mixed together or bred together, and they came up with one that they call spike lavender. And it's horrendously expensive. It's $130 for, what is it, 250 mils. No, nobody's going to buy 250 mils. And very few places have the spike. You can use the other lavenders. I mean, they work also. But if you really want to get the real McCoy, then go to a health food store and see if they can order you in spike lavender. But it is very, very expensive.
Now, here's something else we do get once in a while. Some people come across it. And that's actually summertime colds and flus.
Yeah, the heat brings out the best in us.
How does that ever start? How come a person can actually get a cold and flu or flu in the summertime?
Well, viruses like warmth. They like cold. They don't really care. And changes of seasons, your body's adjusting. Your body's going from a very thick blood in the winter to keep you warm to a thinner blood in the summer. And through the transition, your immune system weakens. And it's trying to find a balance, right? Mm-hmm. And I find quite often that the people that are getting the summer colds and flus just happen to have one in the winter time too. So I don't. I sometimes wonder if they actually got rid of the virus or it just went dormant for a while. And your body will take care of it to a certain degree, and then the virus has these funny little antigens attached to it and becomes a different type of virus and affects you in a different way under different seasons. They're clever little stinkers. You know, they're really, really small, but boy, they sure, you know, and most of them have their own DNA and RNA so they can replicate, right?
Yeah.
Just boost your immune system. In the springtime, people should do a cleanse, you know.
Clean the liver cleanse as well?
Yeah, clean the colon. Do a lymphatic, boost your immune system, you know. Go towards a spring tonic, which I don't think anybody else on the planet makes except me. And that's always, you know, with the winter trees finishing with the summer growth.
Now, can they order a cleansing kit from you?
Well, you know what? I didn't get around to making a spring tonic this year, so I should stop talking about it.
I offer that service.
Yeah. Oh, no, they can order a cleanse kit. But I always say, do your colon and your, especially the spleen. This winter, especially up here in BC, we have had cold and damp and cold and damp. And the spleen really, really suffers in the cold and damp. And I find as soon as people clean the spleen, all of a sudden their immune system has improved, their digestion has improved, their elimination has improved. And that poor spleen, it carries a lot because everybody eats heavier in the wintertime. And the spleen really, really is affected with cold and damp. So I find if they do a spleen tonic, one or two bottles, they have a totally new body afterwards. And the spleen, well, that helps to activate the immune cells also. And if your spleen is stressed, then it's not going to activate them, right?
So you got the spleen. You do have the spleen tonic.
Yeah, I don't think it's on the website, though. But I do have a spleen tonic.
So the word's out there now, you have a spleen tonic.
I do. It's a foul-tasting thing. It really is. None of the tonics taste good, but then again, I think it's because our taste buds have been so manipulated with the food industry.
Well, you're also it's manipulated through by the taste of fruit and candy.
Exactly. And the bitters, there's some people, the cleaner your body, the more you love the bitters. If you're actually repulsed by the bitters, you know you got an issue. Because Candida, other yeasts, and fungi don't like the bitters.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the real cleansing herbs are bitters. So you just kind of puck up and swallow and hope for the best.
Right now I put myself on a liver detox to help me go. Like basically, we got this virus going around right now, and I end up having the virus. I end up getting losing my voice for almost 2 weeks.
Yeah, I believe it.
I've never had that experience before, and I know very well it's from the chemtrails because they've been flying by over above us way too often, way too much, and so many people are sick. Someone says, there's a virus going around, flu virus going around. Yeah, so I asked the hospital, you know, where is this virus coming from? We don't know.
Yeah.
If you don't know...
You can only blame those poor Asians so long, you know. The Asian
blame
flu.
Everybody in another country, it's a Hong Kong flu, it's a Hong Kong flu. There's no such thing as a Hong Kong flu.
No.
It means you got to stay away from the Hong Kong?
Yeah.
Stay away from the people that are Asian? Come on, give me a break. It doesn't happen that way. So basically, these are created. These are manipulated to... We're basically the experimental guinea pigs.
Yeah,
to see how much our immune system can handle it. But you know what? They don't realize it. Actually, they're making people even sicker than what it is.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of it is fungus
based
too, right? And there's so many people that are allergic to fungus, especially in the wet rainforest here.
Oh.
we're constantly dealing with fungus. So, you got your fungus in your blood, you got your viruses, and people are getting pretty sick. I always call it, I don't even call it chemtrails anymore, I just call it crop dusting, because that's exactly what we are, is a pile of crops, and they're just dusting us to see what happens.
Yeah, to see how we turn out. My mom, when she passed away, their whole hospital became infected, not because of her, but before she passed away. The whole hospital was infected by the virus, and the virus actually started way up in Alberta, and they themselves don't even know where that came from. And everybody that comes from the hospital all leave with the virus.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's killing the elders, and this has got to stop. Somehow this has got to put to a stop.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it killed my mom.
No.
But I'm saying that she come down with pneumonia.
Yeah.
Now, it's in the summertime or beginning of summer. Why would she come down with pneumonia? You know what I mean? Like, she was fine the first day, the day I talked to her, all of a sudden, total silence for about a week, and next thing you know, she's not there.
Yeah.
So, like...
Well, I have actually two clients that were diagnosed with pneumonia, but they don't have pneumonia, so to speak. They have TB.
Yeah.
And one of them is very, very young, like she's 19 years old. And the TB bacteria is alive and well. And I'm beginning to wonder if a lot of these flus are not the TB bacteria. And they say, well, you know, you'd know it if it was TB. Well, no, nobody knew it was TB till, you know, they said she had allergies, she had pneumonia, she had this, she had that. And I said to her, I did some kinesiology testing on her. And I said, you know, I'm going to go with my hunch. And I said, go ahead and test it for TB. Well, it took her six doctors. She finally found one that actually thought she might know what she was talking about. He tested her, and, yep, she had TB.
And it's actually
handle, but...
Well, it's been on the news for the longest time now.
Yeah?
They're talking about tuberculosis a lot.
Oh, okay.
A guy that's flying around, and what's that one guy flying around all over the world, and he's spreading this virus to everybody.
Cool. I don't own a TV, so I it's up to you here.
It's in the airport. This guy came from went from one part of Europe to England, from England into parts of Vancouver, Calgary, and Ontario, and through the States. I mean, he went from place to place like so quickly. Why was he on the plane so often, and why did this virus be left behind?
Yeah.
And yet they're saying on the radio, well, now they've made a decision by arresting him by leaving the virus or detaining him or taking him off the plane because, well, you know what? This is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
If he knew himself that he's passing this virus around or that he's told to do this.
Yeah.
So basically he's a walking incubator.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Well, you know, for a couple of months there, I felt pretty, like, I kept thinking, why can't I make it through the day without having a nap or wanting a nap, right? Some days you just don't get there. Mm-hmm. And then last month, a friend of mine did my blood, and she goes, ay, yay. And we looked, and you know what? It looked like a snowfall. I had so many white blood cells.
Yeah.
She said, are you fighting something? I said, well, I know I'm fighting something. It just hasn't surfaced, really. And, you know,
I... with myself, both you and I.
I was using the Zapper and stuff, and so finally I thought, okay, get serious here. So I did a lymph cleanse, and I, you know, zapped myself, and bang, you know, within 2 days I was me again. So we'll do my blood again on the weekend and see what it looks like. But I had so many white blood cells, like they're going, if we don't get a hold of those in a month, we might have a problem here. And I thought, I believe it, because like I said, I felt under the weather for about 2 months. I just couldn't get it together.
But there's also, too, another part that really does help assist the virus to spread, and that's part of it. One of it is depression.
Yeah.
Or stress.
Yeah.
You know, if we allow things to overcome us.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or, again, your body becomes a shutdown. It doesn't really want to build because you want it just to shut down.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people out there right now today, if you ever feel depressed, if you feel like sad, way sad, too long, more than you should, be very careful and start learning to use your frown and make it into a smile, because the thing is that if you do that too often, again, you don't want to be in that position like everybody else.
Oh, no. Like, I mean, depression is a pandemic, man, and that is the leading cause of most illnesses is depression. And some people, you know, have felt so crappy for so long. They've been talking on the radio about how many people fall asleep at work. Well, I don't bloody well blame them. when you look at the pace the people are living at, and then they get a virus, and they've got to keep going and going. I personally have no idea how they cope. I couldn't tell you. It's no wonder they're asleep at their desk.
Most people now are working two jobs at a time, and they're trying to make it ahead, but everybody keeps on raising taxes, and that's another story to that one.
Yeah, no kidding.
Anyways, Joanne, we're almost there at the time.
Again?
I want to thank you so much for coming on, and I think we pretty well covered a lot of stuff here all to do with the summertime. And let everybody also know out there, I want you all guys to be careful, be safe out there, and to enjoy the sun and not to burn yourselves. And if you do get a sunburn, listen to what Joanne has given as far as advice is concerned. If you need to get a hold of Joanne, she does have a website, and it's www.wildwomanherbs.com.
No,
and she also lives in BC. Now, if you want to order any of her herbs, go to her site. She will have those mailed to you in no time. And also, she does have an email, and that's www.herbs@yahoo.ca or .com.
No, at telus.net.
Oh, sorry, take it back. Okay.
wildwomanherbs@telus.net.
.net. And, but again, look up her website, and or you can actually go to my website, and it's www.whiteskycloud@yahoo.com or whiteskycloud.com. Give me a call, folks. Let me know what you think of the show. Give us a feedback on it. And in the meantime, guys, it's been a pleasure having you on, Joanne. And
thanks
everybody. This is Time. This is Derek, White Sky Cloud, signing off. You're listening to Between Two Worlds, and I'm here in Surrey, British Columbia, Canada. And if you want to give me a call regarding any readings or ask any questions, please email me. And we're closing down now, so folks, take care, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday night. And I'll have a surprise guest possibly next week. I'm hoping to have this one that everyone will need to talk to or listen to about. And if it doesn't happen, what happened? Well, we'll find out. We'll see you next week. Anyways, folks, take care. It's been a blast. In the meantime, in between time, this is Derek White, Sky Cloud, signing off. Take care, guys. Bye.